Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, we're in our series, preaching through the third chapter of Proverbs. I think it was 2 weeks ago this morning, was it, the Lord? Just last week? Wow. Guess it's just that good. It seems like I've been doing it longer. Amen. I love to listen to myself preach. Amen. You love to listen to me preach too, don't you? Well, Sister Helen's informed me that it's getting a little boring lately. She's asked me to kick it up a notch there, will you, Pastor? So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, she never complained. Amen. But she did hint that she likes it loud, apparently. Hallelujah. It sinks in deeper. Amen. Well, glory be to God. We're teaching and preaching and learning from the book of Proverbs here today. Let's just do this. The Holy Spirit put this in my heart this morning to do this. No, it was last night while I was sitting at the kitchen counter studying. Hallelujah. Haven't sat at a kitchen counter studying for a long time, living in temporary housing the way we have since coming here to Cape Cod. But last night, I was sitting at the kitchen counter studying, and the Holy Spirit showed me, start with this today, right here in Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Can you hear me, Helen? Hallelujah. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, introducing the book. And the purpose of these Proverbs, he goes on to say in verse 2, is that we might know wisdom and instruction in order to perceive the words of understanding, that we might receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, inequity, that we might understand our standing with God. To give subtlety to the simple, that'd be me. To the young man, knowledge and discretion, that'd be Josh. Amen. A wise man and woman will hear and will increase learning by reading the book of Proverbs. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Even if you have understanding already, this book will give you greater understanding. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of that proverb. To understand the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Reference to hidden meanings. Amen. Holy Spirit will cause you to see things through by reading the book of Proverbs you never saw before. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That word is awesome respect, by the way, not fear. Respect for the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Say, I ain't no fool. I'm not a fool either, amen?
Amen.
There's a king, and there's a fool on the inside of every human being. The book of Proverbs addresses the king on the inside of each and every one of us. And if need be, it also addresses the fool. It's up to you, amen? Now, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, having seen why we're in Proverbs, amen? So that we might know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and knowledge to the young and the old alike. Amen? This is a tremendous book, most of it written by Solomon, except for the last two chapters, I believe. I can't be too sure about that, but I know that he wrote the majority of the book of Proverbs, and we're over here in Proverbs chapter 3. We started last week. We talked about favor. Let's go to verse 1. My son and my daughter, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And we saw the last time we were together, you can literally add years to your life by meditating in God's Word and expecting to live long. Amen? Listen, God doesn't have a preordained time for you to die. Or you couldn't add years to your life. You wouldn't be able to alter that preordained time if it was God. God knows when each and every one of us are going to go to heaven, but He hasn't set that appointment. We set it. We can lengthen or we can shorten our days on the earth, Solomon said, by the Holy Spirit. through wisdom of God's Word. Amen? Increase in wisdom, live longer. Decrease in wisdom, live shorter. It's up to you. How long you want to stick around here? Amen? You can pretty much stay as long as you like within reason. You'd be hard-pressed to do more than 120 years, probably. But some folks have gotten really close to it. Just recently, again, the world's oldest living person in the last month, I believe, passed away 114 years old. Amen? And we don't even know if they were doing that with the Word of God. How much longer would they have lived if they were in the Word of God? Amen? So we saw that. Amen? And then we moved on. Let not mercy and truth, in verse 3, forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor in good understanding in the sight of God and man. Amen? We talked about favor from those verses of Scripture last time we were together. Amen? We saw the Bible promises that God will surround us with favor as with a force field if we'll walk in love and if we'll walk in truth. Amen? And one thing that I didn't get to, we talked about some Bible characters who did walk in the favor of God. And we could teach on favor for 6 weeks and not run out of material. Amen? We only got to cover that in that short session. One thing I didn't share about favor that I want to share today before going on to our next topic from this chapter is the fact that there is a favor persecution cycle. There is a favor persecution cycle. Some people, they get persecuted for their stand on God's Word, and they start crying and complaining, God promised me favor, why am I being persecuted? Well, the devil's persecuting you because God's showing you favor. Persecution rides in on the tail of favor. Every time. But favor rides in on the tail of persecution. Every time. And persecution rides in on the tail of favor, and favor rides in on the tail of persecution. Look at the life of Joseph. He had tremendous favor with his father, Jacob. And he was horribly persecuted by his brothers because of it. They sold him into slavery only to find favor with Potiphar. Only to find horrible persecution through Potiphar's wife. Only to find amazing favor with Pharaoh. You see, there's a favor persecution cycle. Amen? So don't get all uptight and all nervous when you get hit with persecution for your Pentecostal stand on God's Word. God promises favor. It'll come. Persecution will follow it. Favor will follow the persecution. Persecution will follow the favor. That's what happened in the life of ministry. That's what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Joseph, Jesus. Every Bible character has gone through the persecution favor cycle. So it's not unusual if you're enduring persecution today. Amen? It's unusual if you're not enduring persecution as a word of faith type faith person, Christian person. Amen? If you're not being persecuted, it's because the devil's taken the position with you. He ain't no threat to me. I'm going over here and going to get some of these big guns out of my way. So if you're not being persecuted, you need to say to the Father, where am I out of your will? The devil's not persecuting me anymore. He'll show you where you're out of his will, and you can fix it, and the persecution will start again. Isn't that good news? And the favor will come again, and the persecution will come, and the favor. They ride in on the tail of one another. That's just the way it works. Amen? But that's okay. We can take the heat. Greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world. God will give you victory in the end, ultimately. Amen? As you continue to go through the favor persecution cycle in Joseph's life, it came to stay. God used the favor persecution cycle in the life of Joseph to take him so high that Pharaoh finally said to Joseph, only in the throne will I be greater than you. I want you to rule my people, my finances, my kingdom. These people under me will now do whatever you say, Joseph. Only in the throne, Pharaoh said, will I be greater than you. Pharaoh was saying, matter of fact, I'll be looking to you for wisdom. I'll be greater than you in the throne, but I'm going to need some help in the throne, too, from you. Amen? He had such wisdom and he had such favor with God. Pharaoh put him in position to actually be the most powerful man in the world through the favor persecution cycle. We're not afraid of a little persecution, are we? Amen. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Amen. So keep that in mind. Everybody's not going to like you. Even though God promises favor, everybody didn't like Jesus. And Jesus said in John 13:16, the servant is not greater than the master. Everybody didn't like me. Everybody's not going to like you. People who don't like Jesus aren't going to like you. People who are full of the devil aren't going to like you. But God promises you favor regardless. He never said weapons wouldn't be formed. He said weapons formed against you will not prosper. Amen? Are you getting anything out of this today? This is good preaching! A little quiet, I know. I'm a little subdued today. But I'm doing my best to kick it up a notch. Amen? Hallelujah. Now today, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding, or lean not to your own human wisdom. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him through his word and his witness, and he shall direct your paths. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust him with all of your heart. In all of our ways we are to acknowledge him, and then and only then will he direct our paths. Amen? Some people want to know why they're not being led by the Spirit of God. You can look in their lives and you can see they're living in sin. I've had people ask me. I've looked at their lives. I've seen the blatant sin that they're living in, the compromise, the disobedience. And they've asked, why aren't I being led by the Spirit of God, Pastor? He said he'd lead me and guide me in the way that I should go. And I say, well, because you're not trusting him with all your heart. You're trusting him with about 65%. Amen? You've got to trust the Lord with all your heart. And in all of our ways, we need to acknowledge him. Not in some of our ways. Not in the ways that are convenient. Amen? Obeying God when it's convenient is not obedience. It's disobedience. Obeying God when it's convenient only is not obedience. It's disobedience. That's a word of wisdom right there. Not as in the 9 spiritual gifts, word of wisdom. Obeying God only when it's convenient is not obedience. It's disobedience. Now today we're going to talk about our need for a guide in life. We need a guide. You need a guide. I need a guide. Amen? And if we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and everything that we do, if we'll acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will direct our paths. He will guide us supernaturally through life. Amen? He'll guide us away from accidents. He'll guide us away from incidents. He'll guide us away from tragedies. Amen? We won't have to live a life of recovering from mistakes time and time and time again. We can live in the preventative instead of living in the constant recovery process for the mistakes that we make because we didn't take the time to seek him and to acknowledge him in all of our ways. We're in church already this morning. Amen? I love the subject of guidance. Amen? I love to know that God promises to lead me and to guide me in the way that I should go, that he promises to talk to me. I told you, I'm not serving anybody who won't talk to me. What is the point of serving a God? Someone actually said to me, I had a senator in Vermont say to me, what do you mean God talks to you? And I said, you know, he opens his mouth and he talks to me. What do you mean God told you to come to Vermont? This Vermont senator said to me. I said, I mean he told me to come to Vermont. You want to make a face at her, but I was respectful to her. She didn't understand. You know, she's all bound up in head knowledge, all bound up in intellectualism and education and politics. And she just could not conceive of a God that would speak to His creation, probably because she didn't believe He created her. Amen? I'd like to tell you her name, but I wouldn't do that to her. Even though when she asked me that question, she asked me that in a boardroom full of people in an attempt to humiliate me in front of all those people. And she just humiliated herself. I just said, she's like, you talk to me. God talks to me. Amen? God does talk to us. He promises to lead us and to guide us in the way that we should go. Now, the number one way that God guides us is not through His audible voice, nor is it through His still small voice. You know this. It's through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. It's the number one way that God guides. But He does speak through the still small voice. I've heard it frequently. He does speak through what we call an audible voice, but it's not really audible and that you hear it with your ears outwardly, but it's so loud and so authoritative, it comes out of your spirit into your inner ears, you would swear everybody in the room could hear it. There have been times when the still small voice has spoken to me in a room full of people, and I knew nobody heard that. That's the still small voice. And there's been times He's spoken to me by His authoritative voice. And I'd go like this. He'd speak to me. I'd go, just making sure. Anybody else hear that? Because it sounds audible, but it's just so authoritative. But it's on the inside because He's in your spirit. He's not speaking to you from the outside. But He speaks so authoritatively from your spirit into your inner ears. You hear it on your inner ear. And you'd swear everybody else heard it. But you look around and everybody's just, you know, oblivious to what's going on with you. He can speak authoritatively. He can speak and does speak through His still small voice. I've heard both of them. The still small voice more frequently than the authoritative voice. But I've heard that authoritative voice. It'll shake you to your core when you hear it. You'll know when God speaks by His authoritative voice. When He spoke to me in my hotel room in Albuquerque, New Mexico, there's no describing what His voice sounded like when He quoted to me Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. And I heard words. I heard that verse of Scripture being quoted to me that I had never read before, never saw it in the Bible before, never heard it. And He quoted it to me through His authoritative voice, as if someone was in that room talking to me. I went and checked it later. He got every word right. And I'm sure He didn't have to meditate on it to do that. It came out of His spirit into my spirit. But it sounded like a roaring waterfall had exploded. How do you describe such a thing? John referred to the voice of God, the Apostle John, as the voice of many waters. He was talking about a roaring waterfall. I've heard that. I have heard it to where it's changed my life dramatically. It is peaceful when it's God, amen? But it'll shake you, amen? But it's not the number one way He guides, and we need a guide. The number one way God guides is the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, the red light and the green light of the Holy Spirit, amen? We all need a guide. God promises us a guide. Jeremiah chapter 10, now we didn't have the scriptures out prior to the service for you the way that we normally do. Hallelujah, we weren't able to get to that this week, so I'm just going to have to read some scriptures. I'll try to give you a heads up so you can get to some of these scriptures with me. I'm going to read to you Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. You can just put it in your notes right there, in your notebook or on the back of your bulletin. If you can get over there, God bless you. Amen. Jeremiah 10, 23. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. It is not in man that walketh. That word walketh means wandereth. It is not in man who wandereth. See, if we try to guide ourselves, we're going to wander off track every time. That's just the way that it is. Amen. There's a law of degeneracy in this earth that we're fighting against because of the fall of Adam. And without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even when we're doing our absolute best to obey God, we cannot guide ourselves. Jeremiah called man that walketh, he said, man that wandereth. We have a tendency to wander off course without the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not in man that wandereth to direct his own steps. Amen. We're not capable of directing our own steps. We need a guide. As I said earlier, some people live their whole lives recovering from one bad decision after another. Just they live in the recovery process. That is not what God wants. God wants us to live in the preventative. He wants to steer us away from tragedies, away from heartache, away from wrong decisions. He wants to steer us away from accidents and injuries and confusion and frustration. Amen? He doesn't want us living constantly in the recovery process, having to recover from the bad decisions we've made without Him. He wants to guide us, and He's made Himself available to us. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, my job as the pastor is to encourage you to do what Barbara and I do. Always, we consult God first in everything. Don't we? We consult Him first in everything. We'll go ahead and we'll make decisions about some situations. But then we'll hold off and we won't act on those decisions until we get peace or unrest about that decision. And people have come to me and have, oh boy, put pressure on me to make decisions now, now. Make a decision now, Pastor. I'll buy you a motorhome right now. Your ministry needs a motorhome, but you need to do this right now. I'll get you a motorhome. So I've got to make a decision right now, right now. Yes, Pastor. I can't have 2 or 3 days to seek the Lord. No, Pastor. I say, well, then I'm sorry. My answer is no. If I can't take the time to seek the Lord, I don't want your motorhome. Because if I get a motorhome that God didn't give me, I'm going to have to do the maintenance on the thing, not God. I'm going to have to take care of it, not God. That was my decision, not God's. And if it's not coming from the Spirit of God, I don't want it. I'm not hooking up with anybody who God doesn't tell me to hook up with. But Pastor, I'm offering you motorhome. I'm offering you, had people offer us church building, motorhome, sound system, new keyboard, musical instruments. But I got to know now. Sorry. What part of no don't you understand? The N or the O? It's a complete sentence too. Maybe you have a problem with complete sentences. Let me just put it in a single word. No! If we can't take the time to seek the Lord, I'm sorry, the answer is no. Amen? We always put God in position. We're talking about you need a guide from Proverbs chapter 3. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways. Acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. One way that we acknowledge God in all of our ways is we always put Him in position to where He doesn't have to speak by His authoritative voice. He doesn't have to speak by the still small voice. He only has to give us a red light or a green light because we put Him in position to only have to answer us yes or no. Okay, Father, I'm making the decision. I'm taking the motorhome that this man has offered me. Now, I'm going to set it on the back burner for 2 or 3 days and I'm not going to act on it. And I'm going to see if I have peace or unrest about that decision that I just made. You see what I'm saying? We make the decision, but we don't act on it. We just make the decision to see if it's the right decision. And then we'll wait and we'll see if we got a green light or a red light. A green light or a red light. And if I've got a green light, Barbara's got a red light, we've got to keep on seeking Him. Because He's going to tell us both the same thing. Somebody's missing God here. It's probably Barbara, but I'm going to give her time. Could be me. Amen. There's been more times than I care to tell you that Barbara was right and I was wrong. But there is one tremendously right decision that she did make once in her. You know what it is. She married me. Hallelujah. Best decision I ever made, too. Amen? Best decision I ever made. I cannot do what I do without my wife. Wait until you see the book manuscripts that will be published soon. We've got over 50 book manuscripts. 30 book children's series, 20 books for adults, doctrinal, college-level Bible teaching for ministers and Bible students. All ready to go. Couldn't have done it without Barbara's editing, her retyping my manuscript. She taught me how to type. I used to write my book manuscripts by hand and cut and paste scriptures in them out of old Bibles. So she could take them and retype them for me now. And she taught me how to type, but even still, I can't. I type the Bible method, seek and ye shall find. Barbara's fast and furious, like 1,500 words a second. Isn't that right? Something like that. Hallelujah. Catches things I don't catch. Amen. We work together. We're a team. Amen. But when we're seeking God for something, we work as a team too. I don't just say, bless God, baby doll, I'm the head of this household. Here's what God told me we're going to do. Now get your boots on and get ready and adjust yourselves. This is how it's going to be. So what are you picking up, Bob? What are you picking up, Barbara? We go to the Lord. We seek Him together. We say, Father, we've made the decision. We've talked about it. We've consulted with one another about this. Your Word says this about it. Your Word says that about it. Here's the decision we're making. Now we ask You to give us the red light or the green light and let us know. Because we're not acting on anything until we both get the same thing. Because You're not the author of confusion. You're not going to tell us two different things. Amen? It's wonderful to not be afraid of your wife. No preacher's ever talked to you that way.
About their private life. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for saying so, Brother Maurice. Amen.
I mean it too.
Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. I know you do, or you wouldn't have said it. Amen. And next time, step up a little closer to the microphone so it gets on the tape. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not in man to direct himself. We need a guide. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to consult the Holy Spirit before we do anything. Anything. Some people, they get a job offer that pays six times more than what they're making now. And they say, it's got to be God. It could only be God. I pay tithes. I pay offerings. God promises increase. And increase has come. It's got to be God. And I say, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you get the inner witness? I don't need the inner witness. There could only be God six times more than I'm making now, Pastor. You preach prosperity, Pastor. This is God prospering. I say, I take the time and make the decision to take the job and see if you got a red light or green light. Don't make a commitment to those people for at least 2 or 3 days. Oh, I already made the commitment. It's prosperity. It's the will of God. They sell their house. They go live in another state. They take the job that's making six times more than what they were making. 9 months later, the company falls. They give up their home, they give up their job, they give up their benefits. They're looking for work now. What happened? They tried to direct their own steps. Amen? They didn't seek guidance according to the whole counsel of God. There are steps we need to take concerning biblical guidance. Amen? Prosperities. The devil can lead you with prosperity. The devil's the god of this world. He can open and close doors. To say to God, I have a job offer in Idaho, and I have a job offer in Maine, and I need to decide which one to take. I'm going to the grocery store today anyway. If they have Idaho potatoes, then I'm going to Idaho. If they have Maine potatoes, I'm going to Maine. Well, that's the flakiest thing I ever heard in my life. The devil is the god of this world. He can cause the grocery store to have Idaho potatoes or Maine potatoes. Amen? That's not how God guides. You can't make a decision based on increase. You can't make a decision as to whether you're going to marry somebody based on their face and the shape of their body, their appearance. You'll end up on Jerry Springer. Everybody needs to watch Jerry Springer. It should be called the How to Not Do Things Show. And now I'm not encouraging to watch Jerry Springer. You know what I'm saying. But that's what happens when people make decisions based on outward, not inward. Based on appearances, not the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. You end up on TV boxing and throwing rocks at each other. Ripping each other's clothes off on TV. Jerry Springer's making millions and you're being humiliated. So, hallelujah. Helen, aren't you glad you didn't end up on Jerry Springer? You made a right decision. Hallelujah. Barbara and I, we only knew each other for 2 weeks before we got married. We never even knew each other before that. We knew each other for 14 days or something, didn't we? And we both had that. Now, I don't suggest people do that. Particularly if you... We had been praying for years ahead of time, spending time in the Word, time in prayer. People who don't spend time in the presence of God, you're not going to be able to discern or to pick up the inner witness of the Holy Spirit as clearly and as readily as we were able to, because we spend time with the Lord. And we have been both believing for the same thing, in the same way, and just when we came together, we knew. We knew. We made the decision to get married. After a few days, we had peace about it. We went for it. Amen? That's not the common way that you do it. But if you spend time in the presence of the Lord, if you spend enough time in prayer and you spend enough time in God's Word, He can guide you that way. We made a right decision. Amen? Barbara's never questioned it. Have you? Okay. Watch how quick she repents for lying. Do it now. Ask the congregation to forgive you.
No, I never have.
You never have questioned it?
No.
Hallelujah.
I haven't.
I can believe that. I don't doubt it. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. You can't be led by outward circumstances, is my point. Amen? You need to listen on the inside. God's inner guidance system is on the inside. Jesus said in John 7:24, He said, don't judge according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. The way to judge righteous judgment is to judge according to the written Word of God. And if the Word of God doesn't have anything specific to say about your situation, then you move into the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, some people are listening to us by tape, by radio, electronically, by the internet, and you don't know what the inner witness of the Holy Spirit is. This is coming as a revelation to you today. Those of us here at the gathering at Cape Cod, we know what the inner witness of the Holy Spirit is. So for the sake of those who will listen to us from outside of the walls of this church today, let's go over to Colossians chapter 3 and teach them what we mean by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? God wants to guide you. God wants to guide you. When the Bible doesn't say something about what He wants you to do, you need to go over here to Colossians chapter 3 in verse 15 in the Amplified Bible. And I just happen to have one with me this morning, Barbara. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Who would like to volunteer to read to me Colossians chapter 3:15 in whatever Bible you have? Helen, what Bible do you have? And kick it up a notch, will you, Helen? I'd like you to be a little louder from now on, please. Right into the microphone.
And let the peace of God rule in your heart. To the rich also we are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Thank you, Helen. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now let me read that portion to you from the Amplified Bible. Amen. The Greek language is so flowery and so expressive, it takes on average 11 English words to translate one Greek word. And that's what the Amplified Bible is all about. Let me read to you what Helen just read to us. In what translation, Helen? In the King James. Let the peace of God... What did it say? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Here's what it actually says. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from the Christ, act as umpire continually in your hearts. Act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. Did you hear that? That's a little more expanded than let the peace of God or Christ rule in your hearts. Look, let the peace of Christ act as umpire in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. So, what we're talking about today is being led by the peace and the unrest of the Holy Spirit. What does an umpire do in baseball, basically. He lets you know if you are safe or if you are what? Out. The Holy Spirit is our inner umpire. That's what Paul called him. By the agency of the Holy Spirit, Paul said this. The Holy Spirit calls himself an umpire. And he wants to guide you with all finality, every decision you need to make. So you do this, as I said previously. Somebody offers you a job in Tupelo, and you need to know whether I'm to go to Tupelo or not. You make your decision. Father, I'm going to Tupelo. The job offer is lucrative. It seems good. You promised prosperity. So I'm going to say I'm taking the job offer in Tupelo. But I'm going to wait now until you tell me by the peace or unrest of the inner umpire whether I've made the right decision or not. And then do a little bit of reading your Bible extra. Because when you're in the Bible, you're fellowshipping with the Spirit of God. It's a supernatural living book. It's you're spending time in God's presence. It keeps your spirit sensitive. Pray in tongues. This is what I do, like this. I'll do it in the car, just pace at home, in the kitchen. We both do it. Then we go off together. I'm building myself up in the holy faith. Amen. I'm sensitizing my spirit to the voice of God. And then all of a sudden, I'm feeling this creamy, peaceful feeling about Tupelo. Bob, I'm picking up. Creamy. What are you getting? Well, I don't have any unrest about it, you say. Certainly, there's a lack of unrest. I don't really have the creamy feeling you have yet. So, well, let's keep praying about it. You don't have to interpret that tongue, unless the Lord wants you to. You're just praying out the mysteries, sensitizing your spirit, building yourself up in the most holy faith. Prande. Next day, I'll say, Barbara, I'm still getting that creamy feeling. Or she'll wake up in the morning and say, you know, I couldn't say yesterday I had that peaceful, creamy feeling that you had, but I got it this morning. When I woke up this morning, I had the green light. That's what we call it, the green light or the red light. That's just another way of saying the peace or unrest of the Holy Spirit. The inner umpire is telling us both, go to Tupelo, go to Tupelo, go to Tupelo. So off to Tupelo we go, and God blesses it. Amen? And that's basically how you do it. Now, if God decides to speak by a still small voice, He can and He will. I've heard it multiple times. I don't know how many times I've heard that in 26 years of Christianity. I've also heard His authoritative voice. If He chooses to do that, that's fine. But we don't build on that. We build on the inner witness. He wants us to trust our lives to the inner witness. This is the primary way God guides in the New Testament. Not dreams, not visions, not prophecies, not the still small voice, not the authoritative voice. Those are all scriptural forms of guidance, but we are not to seek those. We are to seek the inner witness. And as we seek the inner witness, if we need any of the other more spectacular forms of guidance, the Father is faithful. He'll give it to us. But most people are going to go through their lives being led by the peace or the unrest of the Holy Spirit. The red light, green light of the Holy Spirit. I know you know this, but this is a good review, isn't it? How does faith come? By hearing. Amen. The only way we're going to be able to develop ourselves to where we will trust our very lives to the inner witness of the Holy Spirit is to hear these things over and over. This is why the Lord said, go back into Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. I want you to preach through the whole book of Proverbs, chapter 3. God have mercy on you if He said the whole book of Proverbs. Amen? Hallelujah. Because I'd probably try to do that in a month and you'd never get out of here. Proverbs chapter 3. He's wanting to get this deeper into those who are here and those who are listening to us on the outside. It's the number one way He guides. And it's a sorrowful thing that most Christians don't know this. They don't know it, and so many, for the most part, don't want to know it. They don't want the responsibility of taking the time to read their Bible, pray in other tongues, Make your decision and then give it 2 or 3 days. In some cases, 2 or 3 weeks. In some cases, 2 or 3 months. In some cases, 2 or 3 years to see if this is really God. In our situation coming to Cape Cod, inner witness, 8 years. Inner witness, 8 years. Inner witness, 8 years. But we never had a release to leave and come here until 7 or 8 months ago. Or 8 or 9 months ago, because we got the release and then we were here within a couple of months. Amen? But the primary way that He led us here was through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's the primary way He's going to guide you. It's the primary way that He guides everybody. Psalm 37, real quick. Hallelujah. He wants us to develop faith in this area, and He will help us. Somebody said, well, what if I try to be led by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, Pastor, and I miss it? Well, God knows we're going to make mistakes. We're children. We're learning how to walk with Him. Amen? Then like any good daddy, He's going to grab us by the hand. He's going to walk us through it. Amen? He's going to teach us how to walk with Him. He doesn't just tell us, develop the ability to be led by the inner witness, and I don't want to talk to you until you've done it. That's not how He is. He's a loving Father. He loves us. Amen? He commands us to do certain things, but He promises to help us. He commands us to do certain things in a certain way, but He always promises to help us. Are you there in Psalm 37? He knows you're going to make mistakes, learning how to develop the ability to be led by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. You know, being led by this holy, the inner witness, the inner umpire, the red light, green light, the peace, unrest of the Holy Spirit, is as supernatural as any of the other forms of guidance. It's as supernatural as the still small voice, the authoritative voice, dreams, visions, prophecies, or angelic visitations. And let me say again, I've experienced them all. They're all supernatural. But the inner witness of the Holy Spirit is as supernatural as any of them. Maybe not as spectacular, but it's as supernatural. It's all the Spirit of God. Amen? And if He says run with the inner witness, we have a responsibility to run with the inner witness. Amen? You just can't expect an angel to appear to you every time somebody's going to try to rip you off for a car. You know what I mean? Every time you're going to make a decision to move into another house. You just can't expect somebody to prophesy God's will to you. We need to learn how to be led by His Spirit from within on our own. You can't call me and ask me what to do. You know what you're going to get if you call me and ask me for guidance. We're going to Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified Bible, and we're going right back to red light, green light, peace, unrest. Amen. Amen. Though, as a matter of fact, if you want my counsel concerning God guiding you in a decision that you need to make, you don't ever have to call me again. Get today's CD and listen to it, because that's all I'm going to tell you. And if Jesus appeared to you in the midst of a crisis concerning a decision you have to make, He'll tell you the same thing. What do you got? Peace or unrest? He came to Brother Hagin one time, a prophet of God, a man who had Jesus come sit on his bed and talk to him for 3 hours, just sit in the end of his hospital bed, and just give him instruction from the Word of God. Multiple visitations over the course of his life. Multiple visitations. But most of those visitations and instruction that came through those visitations were for Kenneth to impart to the body, not for Kenneth's personal life. As a matter of fact, one time when he was in the presence of Jesus, I'm talking Jesus come and sit beside you like Maurice is sitting beside Barbara. In the physical realm, sit down beside him and talk to him. And Brother Hagin's sitting there listening, looking at Jesus' sandals on his feet while he's listening to him. Every instruction he gave was for the body of Christ, not for Kenneth's personal guidance. Although there was a time just before Jesus was leaving, he did ask Jesus, Dr. Hagin, can I ask you a question? He would often say that to Jesus, and Jesus would say, go ahead, Kenneth. Jesus is a man, an understanding man. Amen? Kenneth said to him, that church that's been trying to get me to come and preach, I've been just, you know,
torn on the inside. I feel I should go. I feel I shouldn't go. I feel I should go. I feel I shouldn't go. Jesus, what should I do? He said, Kenneth, I'll answer your question, but I'll never guide you in this way again. Don't go to that church. He'll rip you off. Go to the smaller church. They'll give you bigger offerings and help you more with your ministry. The bigger church is looking to use you. The little churches are looking for your help, and they'll help you. Don't go to the big church. Go to the little church, but I will never guide you this way again. From now on, you are to be led by the peace and the unrest of your own human spirit, the red light, green light. And Kenneth said, that's the last time he ever guided me that way. Even prophets of God who experience dreams, visions, prophecies, the authoritative and still small voice, far more consistently than the average believer, have to be led by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. It's the number one way He guides. Amen? Now, we can't discount any of the other forms of guidance. I had Jesus appear to me, and He appeared to me, caught me up in a trance, and took me, said, I don't know where I was, but it was some tropical place we were in, and He's standing right beside me. And He told me my plans to go to Bible school in Tulsa would be put on hold until next year, that I wouldn't be ready for 9 months. And when the time came for me to go, He'd provide for me. I came out of that trance and I knew Jesus just told me Himself not to go. Go next year. Well, I made that decision. And you know, I had peace about it. If Jesus appears to you, if an angel appears to you, and tells you to do something that you don't have peace about, or that isn't scriptural, don't do it. It wasn't Jesus. If it was an angel, it was a false angel, disguising himself as an angel of light. Even when the higher forms of guidance go into operation, you better have peace or unrest about it. If you have unrest about a vision, a trance, a dream, a prophecy, don't follow it. Everything has to bounce back to the red light, green light, the inner witness of the inner umpire on the inside. If you get a big old prophecy, God telling you, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt doeth this it, and whatever, whatever it. If you don't have peace about it, don't follow it. You understand what I'm trying to say? I came out of that trance where He told me, you're not going to go. You're not going to be ready for another 9 months. And then you go after that, and I'll provide for you. I didn't have red light about that. I had Superman. Even though I was ready to go and I wanted to go bad to Tulsa. Just something about being in the presence of Jesus. It's not possible to be bummed out. That wasn't what I wanted to hear, but I was glad to hear it. Because He told me Himself. You know what I'm saying? And I had peace about it. If I had any unrest about it at all, I'd have questioned it. I wouldn't have acted on it. Everything needs to come back to the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. We need to train ourselves to live this way. I've asked you to go where? So I haven't forgotten. I'm not lost. Amen? I run rabbit trails, but I run them backwards too and come right back to where we were. Look at Psalm 37. Are you there? Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. See, God only delights in us if we allow Him to order our steps. Look right here in the next verse. Though he fall, you're going to make mistakes learning how to do this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. He'll take care of you while you're learning. You know what's really being expressed here in Psalm 37? When you look the words up, it says, for the Lord will uphold you with His hand the way that a daddy holds a baby by its hand. You know, when you're teaching a baby how to walk, you hold their hand and they drag their feet and they skip steps and they look like they're going to, but you got them right here by the hand and they fall, but they swing. They stumble, but they're not cast headlong. You're holding them up. And that's what God's implying, inferring here. I'll hold you up by the hand. You're going to make some mistakes. Look at Isaiah chapter 30 real quick. You're going to make mistakes. But I'm going to help you as you make the mistakes to learn how to not make these mistakes. Amen? I'll lead you and guide you as you go. I will personally train you, God says, to learn how to be led by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, this is so simple to do, even I can do it. I've been doing this for decades. I learned this early on in my Christian walk. I've been doing it since then. Amen? And I haven't regretted it, and you won't regret it. Amen? You will regret it if you don't learn how to do this. Amen? And it's not too late in life to do it. Whether you're 30, 60, 90, 100 years old, it's not too late. Amen? For the rest of your time here, you're going to want to be led by the Spirit of God. Who's over there in Isaiah chapter 30? Barbara is. Now kick it up a notch, Barbara, and speak into this microphone and read to me verse 21, if you would, please. Read it so everybody in the room can hear it.
And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left.
Hallelujah. See that? If you're making a mistake in the way that you're going, the Lord will say to you, He said, you'll hear my voice behind you say, no, 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 not that way, this way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. If you're making a wrong decision, if you're stumbling around trying to be led by the peace around rest of the Holy Spirit, you're not getting the job done. God promises, I can talk to you if I have to. Cooperate with me. Do your best to learn how to be led by the peace, unrest, red light, green light of the inner witness. I will help you. If you make a faltering decision, you'll hear me speak to you. I'll let you know. You don't know, no, you're not doing that right. Do it this way. Do it this way. He'll teach you. He'll train you. He won't let you get off course. The Bible says you may stumble along the way, but you won't be cast headlong. Does that make sense? He'll let you know if you're going the wrong way with this thing. Amen? This is very simple to do, you know. We break it down for teaching purposes, but it's very, very simple to do. Make your decision. Okay, I'm going to buy that new refrigerator, Father. I made my decision. Going over to Home Depot. They got the bright orange one I always wanted. Oh, you'd have to be led by the Holy Spirit to buy a bright orange refrigerator. They got the refrigerator that I want at Home Depot. Father, it's on sale now. It's going off sale tomorrow. But I need some time, God. I've got to make a decision here. I can't be pressed into buying that thing when I don't have peace about it just yet. I'm not confident. I've got the creamy feeling. It's on sale till tomorrow, God. And you wake up tomorrow and you're still undecided and it's going off sale by the end of the day and you've got to make a decision. And you're not getting the red light, you're not getting the, let the sale go. Let the sale go. Don't be led by outward circumstances. You gotta just stay with this thing until you get the peace of the unrest of the Holy Spirit. It's better to not make a decision than to make the wrong one. It's better to not act on your decision than to act on a wrong decision. So it goes off sale and the next day you got the green light. The next day, you got the green light. And you're just impressed to just go on down there. Well, God gave me the green light. I'm going to go buy the thing. You know, it's not $5.99 anymore. It's $8.99. But I got the green light. I'm going down. You walk in there. And they say, you know, we got just two more of those out back. We'll give them to you. We'll give it to you for the sale price today. You can't allow the devil. God can do that. He'll give you a favor. He'll give you supernatural favor. He'll cause that to happen. Because you walk in truth and love, He can cause that to happen. But we can't allow ourselves to be guided by outward circumstances. And most people are in the habit of being guided by outward circumstances. You know that most Spirit-filled Christian people exalt human logic when it's wrong. And they ignore the intuition of the Holy Spirit when it's right. You don't want to be in that boat, do you? I don't. I don't want to be one of them. God's not pleased with that. God doesn't delight in that. Most Christian people exalt human logic even when it's wrong. And they ignore the inner umpire of the Holy Spirit, and He's right all the time. If an elevator door opens, and you're a woman, I've used this illustration before. I tell Barbara all the time, when we come down here into the Holiday Inn to load the sound equipment and things, Barbara pushes the cart down here with the big load on it, the sound system and all the other things that we have in the room here. And I go and I park the car. And she pushes the big Holiday Inn valet cart with all that heavy equipment coming in here. Probably makes me look like a fool to the people at the front desk. He makes his wife do all that work. But it's just a very easy cart to push, as heavy as the stuff is. She pushes that, and I go park the car. And what do I say to you as you're pushing it in every Sunday morning?
Don't get on the elevator if someone's on it.
Don't get on the elevator if somebody's in there, particularly a man. Do you know that an elevator is an escape-proof, soundproof box? That somebody can just hit the stop button and rape a woman in the elevator, and people do it all the time? And then when they're all through, hit the button for lobby and leave her on the floor and just walk out. Happens all the time. And then when the police interview the woman, she's almost all the time you hear when you hear about these events. Something was telling me to not do that. That door opened, that man was standing in there. And I knew, don't go in there with him. Well, why did you go? Well, because I didn't want to be embarrassed by not getting in. I didn't want to embarrass him, make him think I didn't want to get in there. See, you're exalting logic and human reasoning over the inner witness when the inner witness is saying, don't go in there. It's an escape-proof, soundproof box. You could get hurt in there. So I always tell Baba, just wait, wait, wait until you can go alone or somebody, a woman or somebody else that you trust will go with you in that elevator. Well, how many people have ever made decisions? And in retrospect, you realize it was a wrong decision, and you have to say to yourself, what was I thinking? Something told me not to do that, and I did it. Only it wasn't something, because he's not an it. He's a he. It was someone. It was the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that, don't do that. And he doesn't have to explain himself to you. If he tells you don't do something, don't do it. Just don't do it. I've come to the place, I don't care what anybody thinks about my decisions anymore. Boo-hoo for you if you're going to judge me for making my own decisions, not based upon what you think about me, but what he thinks about me and how he's guiding me. I'm preaching good here today. Amen? It's the best stuff because it's God's Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And don't think that sometimes God won't lead you into difficult situations, because he will. He led Jesus into the wilderness, didn't he? Didn't he? To be tested and tempted of the devil. And God won't lead you into sickness and disease and poverty and accident, incident and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's the curse of the law. But he'll lead you into tight squeeze situations to try your faith, to see if it's genuine or not. See if you'll hold steady and keep believing him. Even if you have to live in a motel room for 7 months while the thing gets off the ground, until it's not who you think it is calls. And that went right over your head if you're listening to us outside of this room today. And we're not going to take the time to explain it to you. Amen? Hallelujah. He will test you. He will prove you. Amen? And you just don't want to move out of a situation like that if you have a red light. Oh, you know. Those in this room know more than anybody how Barbara and I wanted to bail out of this thing early on. Wanted to say, it couldn't be God! It couldn't be God! God doesn't treat us that way! But we had the green light. We didn't have the red light. We wanted a red light, but we didn't have, we had the green light. We had peace about staying, even when the devil was just hammering us, accusing us, humiliating us. It was demoralizing. No red light. Green light. God will leave it. Wrong answer. God was staying. Ding, 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 ding. Right answer. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Now, God wasn't doing that, but we praised him through it. Amen? And it's all coming together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, real quick. Couple more verses of Scripture and we'll dismiss. Did you get anything out of this today? So the number one way God guides is by angels. Amen? The number one way God guides is by dreams, visions, and prophecy. Is that correct? The number one way God guides is he shows up in your motel room in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and speaks to you like roaring water and quotes his own word that you never heard before.
Is that right? No? Does he speak by the... Is the number one way God speaks by the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit deep down within? Absolutely not. The way God guides is by the peace, the unrest of the inner umpire, the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's God's inner guidance system. It's God's inner guidance system. Have as much sense as a good pilot and trust your instruments. Amen? He's your attitude indicator. He's your turn and bank coordinator. He's your altitude indicator. Trust your instruments. Amen? On the inside, pilots, when they fly non-visual, what do you call it, Maurice, when you can't see outside? You are fine. What does that mean? Instrument flight regulations. You're flying by instruments. You can't, there's nothing to see. There's no outside IFR. Instrument flight regulations. There's no reference points outside for you to see. You can't see anything out there. You have to trust those instruments. You can't see what's coming. You can't see what's going. Only God can see what's coming and what's going. Amen? Amen. He knows the whole plan for your life. He's already been down the road. You're still traveling. He's already been down that road. He knows what's ahead. Amen? A pilot can't even trust his inner ear when he's flying on instruments. Because his inner ear will tell him he's banking to the left when he's banking to the right. Or he's in a nosedive when he's in a climb. Depending on the situation, Maurice, a pilot. Amen? He has to trust his life to his instruments or he'll die. Thinking he's doing the right thing. We have to trust the inner gyroscope of the Holy Spirit on the inside and follow the peace and the unrest of the Holy Spirit concerning every decision we make. He knows what we don't know. He knows what's coming when we don't know what's coming. He wants to guide us away from tragedy. He wants to guide us into a life of the preventative, not a life of living in the recovery process because we made the same wrong decision again. Woo! This is good preaching. You can do this. Amen? Real quick, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Say amen if you're there. What agreement, verse 16, hath the temple of God with idols? No agreement at all. For ye are the temple of the living God. See, he's in me. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. He's in you. And I will walk in them. He's in you. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. God said, I will dwell in you. Amen? You know, in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12, he told Israel, I will dwell amongst you. In Leviticus chapter 26, 12. You should make a note of that. Right there in your Bible, right next to 2 Corinthians 6, 16. Put in your Bible right there, Leviticus 26, 12, to remind yourself, in the Old Testament, he said, I'll dwell amongst you. In the New Testament, he said, I'll dwell within you. He lives in you, Joshua. He lives in you, Joshua. He lives in you, Helen and Jane. He lives in you, Maurice and Barbara. He lives in you. He wants to guide you from within by the peace or unrest of what Jesus calls your matrix. If you look right up here, this is where you get it, right here. Right behind your belly button. Somebody's learning something here today, including me. Right behind your belly button, Jesus called it your matrix, the deepest resource of your being. You'll get a knot in your gut if you've made a wrong decision. Sometimes it feels like it's tied with sewing thread. Just the littlest thing, don't violate it. Sometimes it'll be a little bigger knot like tied with fishing line. Sometimes it's a little bigger knot like tied in there with like a clothesline. Other times, it's like it's tied with a bull rope and you've got this huge knot. Listen, the thread knot is as supernatural as the bull knot. It's the same Holy Spirit. Amen? Don't judge it by the size of the knot. Just if you've got a knot in your gut, that's unrest. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you do that, you will regret that. But then you can have this creamy feeling. Right down behind your belly button, it's just like, it's just so peaceful. It's just so smooth as oil, smooth as oil. It's a green light. And it's the Holy Spirit saying, go for it. I'll bless it.
That's the number one way. He's in here. He's not in here. He's not out here. He said, I'll dwell in you, not amongst you. Oh, I can't believe how good this is today. Yes, I can believe it. I trained myself to believe, not to doubt. Amen? I'm going to read to you Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. You just write it down. It's time to go. Hallelujah. Don't you forget now, please. Let me not even say don't you forget. Let me say remember. A more positive way of saying it. Remember, the average Christian exalts logic even when it's wrong and ignores intuition even when it's right. Say, that's not me. That's not me. You're not going to do that, are you? Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man, see, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, or the spirit, or the matrix down here behind your belly button. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In your spirit, he wants to give you light as to whether you've made a right decision or a wrong decision. And he'll do that by peace or unrest. He'll do that by a red light or a green light. He'll do it by a knot in your gut or an oily, smooth impression down in your gut. Right in here, you can do this. You're as spiritual as anybody on this earth because God dwells in you. You are a spirit being and God dwells in your spirit. You can do this. Amen? We can all do this. It's very, very simple. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down, not in the weeds, but in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He won't lead you into a tidal wave. By the way, Psalm 23, which I'm reading to you in closing. Honey, this ain't no funeral verse. This is no funeral psalm. This is a life psalm. This is a life psalm. Amen. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake to glorify himself. Amen. This is no funeral scripture. This is a guidance and a prosperity psalm. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil. Amen. But listen, we're only walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. You know, the shadow of a dog never bit anybody yet. And the shadow of death won't bite you either. For a Christian, it's a simple stepping through the veil. We don't deal with death, we deal with the shadow of death. We deal with what looks like death, but it's not. You ever see a cartoon and there's a big shadow on the wall of this big, monstrous, bulging bicep guy on the wall over here, the shadow of him, and a huge chest and big fist and a big head. And then the camera turns on the cartoon, and it's a little tiny mouse down there, flexing in front of the candle, and it looks like a monster on the wall. It's a shadow! When really it's just a little mouse is all it was. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't walk through death. We walk through the shadow of death. That's why I say a shadow of a dog never bit anybody yet, and the shadow of death isn't going to bite you. Either you're just going to step out of that body and arrive home safely in heaven, and you're going to stand there and say, "Woo! I'm glad I don't have to go through that again." Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and our Father owns the valley, and he's the biggest thing in the valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You see that? Quit turning around and wondering if the devil's sneaking up on you. Turn around and face the table and quit being rude. He's prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. He knows the devil's there. You just sit there and eat from the bounty of his table. And don't you worry about the devil. You just tell the devil, you stand over there and you wait. I'm feasting off the Father's table. And I'm not going to be looking over my shoulder while I do it. God knew what he was doing, preparing a table for you to feast on, right in the presence of your enemies. Amen? We're not afraid of no devil. Amen? Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, look at this, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy follow me. Because I follow goodness and mercy. Because I follow the peace and unrest of the Holy Spirit. I follow the red light, green light of the Holy Spirit. And because I do, Goodness and mercy follows me. Goodness and mercy follows me because I follow goodness and mercy. Woo! Hallelujah. This is not funeral preaching. This is life preaching. He said he'll lead me beside still waters as I follow the peace and unrest of the Holy Spirit. Not going to lead me into a tidal wave. Lead you right through it. Cause you to walk on it if you have to. Helen, I spit on you. I apologize for the holy water this morning. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of degeneracy in this earth. Amen. The world is full of booby traps, demon powers. We need a guide. We need a guide. Amen. We need a guide. We need a guide. And we have a guide in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He dwells on the inside. Amen. Stop saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day for 2 hours. They kept saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I said, you've got to stop saying that. The more you say that, the more you don't know. Barbara and I, when we don't know what to do, we never say we don't know what to do. You know what we say? We say John 8:12 says, if we follow Jesus, we'll not sit in darkness, but we'll have the light of this life. So we have the light of this life, so we know what to do. John 10:3-4 says, my sheep hear my voice. I say, I hear the voice of the good shepherd, and the voice of a stranger I'm not going to be tricked by, because I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Didn't Jesus say in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth has come, He'll lead you, He'll guide you into all truth, and He'll show you, even show you things to come? The number one way He leads you and guides you into truth is how? Red light, green light. Peace, unrest. Let's stand up and worship God this morning. Amen. There was some good preaching. Hot dog! That was some good preaching. Amen. It'll change your life if you let it. Amen. You're going to go out of here today, and I can promise you the Holy Spirit's going to give you opportunity to make application of what you heard now. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to give you opportunity. He's going to test you and prove you in this area. And He's going to develop you in this area. And He's going to bless you and prosper you in this area. Amen? Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm fired up. I'm fired up. I serve a God. We serve a God who guides us. We need guidance. It used to be you only needed guidance whether to go in and out of Israel or not. Whether to go in and out of London or not. Whether to go down into the tube in London or not. Used to be you only needed guidance to stay out of certain countries of the world, you know. But now we need this kind of guidance in our own country. And God's offering it to us. We don't have to be afraid to fly. We don't have to be afraid to go into marketplaces and public crowded areas. We just be led by the peace or unrest of the Holy Spirit. But we need to learn how to do it. And this is not just for people in persecuted countries anymore. It's for us right here in this country anymore. And we need to learn how to walk through this minefield. And we don't have to be afraid because we have a guide. If you have a red light about anything, don't follow through with it. Stop. Put the brakes on. If you got the green light, put the pedal to the metal. Amen? God wants to guide us. It's a crazy world. Like I said, full of booby traps and demon powers. But we don't have to be afraid. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I've got a guide. I've got the inner gyroscope, the umpire of the Holy Spirit on the inside. And I don't have to be afraid. Amen? And I'm going to broke segi perondaso toga baradeshite as I'm walking around throughout each day, like I've been doing for over 25 years now. Shege perodose kembre. I'm so comfortable praying in tongues, I don't care who thinks I'm a nut because of it. And I don't walk down the mall doing it out loud. But I pray out loud right in front of you folks. I pray out loud in tongues when I need to. You can do it quietly. We drive in the car. We walk around. We sit at home. We pray in tongues. We pray in tongues. And we keep our spirit sensitive to the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And He'll keep us from accident, incident, injury, confusion, frustration, failure. I can't say it enough. I know it's time to go. But He'll also lead us into supernatural prosperity, supernatural protection, and supernatural perpetuity, which means length of life, all through